Okay, it's been a while now. We're going to be talking dogs this morning, so it's a welcome back to Wendy Claxton. Morning, Wendy.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Sounds like you're the same as me, full of cold.
Yes, I know. We've been bug free for about 2.5 years,
yep.
And then this week it's hit me big time. And I think probably most people in class have got it as well now.
Yeah. It's not a good thing. I think there is a bug going around, but. Hopefully not too serious, and hopefully we can sort of all wade through it, come out the other side fine. Right, back to our canine friends. We've taken a puppy right from the word go, and we've got them home. We've done various bits and pieces. I think one of the problems with new dogs is trying to get them under control on a lead.
Yes, exactly. And people don't really put them on the lead soon enough. Ideally, as soon as you get your puppy home, as we said earlier, put them on the collar and start putting them on a lead. Just use a little lead to start with, a little soft lead. You can use a soft slip lead. There's lots of things out there. Personally, I wouldn't ever put them on a harness, and I wouldn't use an extendable lead. Some people do, but there's lots of flip sides why you won't. But we can go into that another time. But ideally, now at home, put your dog on the lead. Walk around the house with the dog on the lead, because a lot of people say to us, I can't take my dog out because it's not fully vaccinated, or the weather's bad, or, you know, it can't walk very far. It can only do 5 minutes. And nobody wants to take the dog out for 5 minutes, because no sooner have you gone out, you're back again. But you can. That's the whole point. But, you know, start in the house. Walk around the whole house in the house with the dog on the lead. Practice. And also just... The other thing we do at class is you often find dogs get a bit silly on the lead. They get a bit jumpy. And we'd say, well, sit on a chair, preferably a hard chair, and sit on the lead. So you're not holding the lead, but you just put the lead under your bottom. You need a decent bottom for this. So you have to eat more cake.
Eat more cake, yeah. Get a decent bottom.
Okay. And then just sit on that and then let go of the lead. So take your hands off the lead. So you've got your bottom on it, the hands are off it. And the dog, miraculously, will just settle next to you. Now, that's something that you can do whilst you're watching television. You can do all sorts of things. Ideally, as I said, you need to be on a pretty hardish chair, because so you need to sort of sit on the lead. You might try, as the dog gets used to it, you might be able to do it on a softer chair. One of the girls yesterday at class said it was marvellous, this little tip, because when they have people go around, if the dog gets over fizzy, they just put the dog on the lead and they sit on the lead. I think it's got to the point now that they don't even bother sitting on it. They just put the dog on the lead and the dog just lies down on the floor and is content as everything.
That's the practice makes perfect thing, isn't it, really?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it is that thing that lead work is utter drudgery to get your dog to heel.
Yeah.
We don't do anything. We don't use clickers or treats or any such thing to get them to heel. It's just blooming hard work, but it's constant. It's, you know, it really is that consistency that you need. Go around the garden, you know, take them out for wee's and poos on the lead. Because then they get used to that lead going
we
on.
Did
it's not a novelty.
Yeah, we did exactly this with young Archie to bring him back into the conversation. When you were talking about leads a little earlier on and you said you don't use the retractable leads, yeah, I get that. You don't use harnesses either. I'm getting that as well because the way dogs can pull. But there are two other options. One is the clip that actually goes onto the collar. The dog can still pull on that. And the other is the soft choker. Which is the rope ones that literally you slip the thing over their head and they sit there quite happily with it. We've done that with young Archie, and we took your advice on this and used a little phrase that helped with all of this and just said lead on, and kept using the phrase lead on to the point now where if you say lead on, he comes and he sits and you just slip this thing over him and he's there. He doesn't pull, he doesn't struggle, he doesn't do anything. And this is all part of it. And then what we did with him was to get him used to all of this was we'd take him into the garden to do his business. And stuff. So he got the idea. Messy. There was two things. One, he got used to the lead. And the second thing was he got used to going into the garden to do his business. So if you said lead on, he came and sat, and off he went into the garden. Now it's lead on, and off he goes for a walk. And, you know, it's absolutely fabulous. There are little things, I mean, and it is just little things, rather than having this battle with you. Come on, I want to get your lead on. It doesn't work like that.
No, and we said earlier, I had to go and train a dog this morning, and we were saying, they came to class, bless them, over 12 years ago, I think, and now they've got their new puppy. That sadly, their other one passed away, and like a lot of us can't be without a dog, so they've got their new puppy. And everybody says it, oh, do you know, I can't remember some of the things we did. And you wouldn't, because, you know, you do it for the first few years, but as the years tick on, you and the dog just merge into almost one, and so there's a lot you do forget. And then sadly people go onto the internet and do a lot of googling and do get some bad information. Some of it's good, but a lot of it's sort of American phooey. So you know, try and remember or contact us or whatever. But anyway, this lovely puppy, it was during that lead on, lead off. And even as a very young puppy, they've mastered that in a few weeks, doing exactly what you're saying you're doing with Archie. And it doesn't then make the lead an issue. It doesn't mean we're going to have an exciting time so the dog gets all hyper. It literally just means I want you to put the lead on. And it might be I want you to put the lead on because we're going to sit and watch television, or we're going to do this or do that. But going out for wee's and poos, really good thing. Be careful at the moment, though, because the acorns are all dropping. And they're like ball bearings as well, so don't slide on them. One girl... Well, yeah. Another girl at class, bless her heart, she went flying the other day. She was out with her dog, and she caught a couple of acorns, and she said it just threw her onto her back. She went right over.
Yeah.
So what dogs are doing, and quite often it's the gun dogs where they're like picking stuff up.
Yeah.
They're picking up a lot of acorns, or they're trying to eat them. Now, they're eating them primarily because we're getting into a pickle over them picking them up in the first place. So we hear, we read that dogs shouldn't eat acorns. So as soon as we read or hear that, we get into a frightful drama. So when we see our dog do something like that, we immediately go in for that, come here, stop, grabbing the dog, trying to fish whatever it is out the dog's mouth. And then obviously the dog's remembered that. So next time it'll either do it but at a distance from you, or run away and do it, or if it's got an acorn, it will run off. So please be very careful about how you react when your young dog, your puppy, picks anything up. But you've got a couple of seconds just to think about, would you know, how important is it that I get this thing back out of the dog's mouth?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just spend some time, because the psychological damage you can do is massive. You can ruin your recall because your dog won't come near you if you start fishing around in its mouth for everything. And the worst case scenario that we've ever had, you can actually stop your puppy eating. And that's the biggest psychological drama we've known of. And it cost, I think, about £10,000 in vet bills.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with the dog, but it almost became anorexic, because every time it had something in its mouth, the owner fished it out, worried that it was going to kill itself. And so therefore, logically, the dog wouldn't put any food in its mouth.
Yeah.
I know.
Tricky one, that. Now, you talk about that sort of thing. Let's say we have the two dogs. We've got Archie, who's the younger one. And strangely enough, when we talked to the lead-on thing, it got Nuka, who's very much older, into the same sort of practice. She just wanted to take part. So she's a big old lab. She's 12 now. And she's quite happy to sit there and have the lead-on. But when you're talking about the foodstuffs, we take... Nuka on a separate walk, because she's that much older and not quite as fit as Archie. So she goes over to these fields at the back where there's been a lot of rain, and there's these mushrooms growing. They're not edible, these things. Yeah. They're quite poisonous. She knows not to touch them, as she knows not to sort of go for lots of other things on the floor. And some dogs get this inbuilt thing that they know almost instinctively that if I eat that, I'm going to make myself ill, so I'm not going to touch that. But it is, as you say, some of the younger dogs haven't quite developed that skill.
That's right. No, they haven't. And also, it does depend where your dog comes from, because if it came from, a lot of these dogs come from abroad, oddly enough,
yeah.
the street dogs are really quite savvy on that. But you do, yes, be careful what you're stopping your dog doing. I mean, obviously, your dog's got to mould the dog to how you want it. but the psychological damage you can do can then become bigger than any of the training issues. So distraction is a really good thing. If you're outside yeah. and the dog is focused on something, go in the other direction and call the dog to you. You could always take a ball with you. I'm not recommending you throw the ball, but I'm just recommending that you've got it, and then you could play with it yourself to get the dog's interest, and you could put the lead back on the dog, and the dog could carry the ball. You've got a squeaky toy. All these things, again, I would recommend that your dog doesn't see them as you exit your house for the walk.
No.
He only sees them when they appear as if by magic out on a walk. Because if the dog knows you've got any such item with you, it might sort of plague you while you're out on the walk. And you really only want to use really only want to use those as and when you need to.
Yeah, there are all sorts of wonderful little tips, as you've said. You know, that some of these things are fairly little things, but when you add them up, they make up one big thing, I suppose, really. Don't fuss over your dog with what they're eating. Sometimes they are going to get to things that they that really aren't terribly good for them. They're going to know that once they've done it once, they won't do it again. But if you try and stop them, I'm guessing that you're going to take away one of the other charms of a dog. Normally a dog is a hungry soul, doesn't matter when. And it's also a good sign of how healthy a dog is as well, that they want feed or they want food.
Yeah, absolutely. And also look at the dog you've got. If you've got a gun dog, they're picker-uppers, aren't they?
Mm. Oh,
so
yeah.
They're going to put, I mean, they do, you know, by rights put lots of stuff in their mouth, but gun dogs tend to put more stuff in their mouth.
Yeah.
So keep them busy with stuff in their mouth. I mean, they'll be teething at this age anyway, so give them bones to chew. Be careful what things you buy from pet shops. Do make sure you're buying your dog quality items for chews and snacks and things like that, because if that's the way you're going to go, we don't give our dogs anything other than their food and bones. But I know some people do like to. Well, actually, I lie. We give them rabbit's ears and feet.
You can't be saying those things these days.
Oh,
you'll have all sorts of people up in arms about all sorts of things, but that's another story. Anyway, what you're really alluding to here, once you've got the lead stuff sorted out and you've got a dog comfortable on the lead, time is really to socialise them a little bit and get them into some sort of training, some formal training.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Get them, if you can, start as soon as possible. We would take dogs at any age into class. They can sometimes come in as puppies and just sit on the owner's lap. And bizarrely enough, that would exhaust them because it's stimulation. Sight, sounds and smells, remember, that's your stimulation, not just sort of allowing your dog to play willy-nilly with every dog it sees. So it's, it's really taking them places. You know, take them to garden centres, take a mat with them. Puppies are they're the ideal thing to mould into absolutely anything you want. Just don't wait. Don't hang around thinking, oh, they're too young. You know, do things with them. Take them on the bus. Just make sure they're safe as the weather's changing. Make sure they stay warm as well and dry. But if you want to have a dog that you take to a cafe, don't wait till it's 6 months. Take it now, because then in 6 months' time, it'll be, oh, well, I always go to the cafe and I really behave. But do get yourself into training if you can. A lot of people think, well, I'll do it online and I'll do this and I'll do that, which is fair enough. I get that people's lives are busy, but there's nothing really as good as a training group. Because you meet other people from pretty much the same area you live in, and everybody's got a tale to tell that, you know, you can learn by those.
It is the socialisation, isn't it, that you're talking about here? I mean, we had this again. Sorry to use Archie again as a bit of a point here, but say we got him at 11 months. He'd had very little experience of anything anywhere and was quite feral. The big problem, and we still have this problem with him now, is he doesn't like roads. He's terrified if cars go past. Doesn't matter if he's sort of 5-6 feet away from the edge of the road. He's still frightened, and it makes him jump. And I'm guessing that the socialisation and the introducing your puppy to sight, sound, smells and all sorts of things of the world at an early age will prevent that kind of problem.
Absolutely, yes. And even a situation like that with your little fella, you could get to a point that if there was a bench somewhere near a road, not right on a road, that you could just go and sit on it. Because what we find that as humans, if we're standing up and our dog's worried about something, we then worry and it all gets worse following down the lead. But we often see people just sitting on a bench with their dog near, you know, we used to take one of our dogs to Tesco in Lewis because that she was terrified of the sound of those little tiny wheels that the trolleys make on, I don't know why, because she never did any shopping, but anyway. And so we used to sit outside Tesco in Lewis at the weekend and she did get better and better, but it's just making that extra effort, seeing what the problem is and dealing with it, not by coming away from it, avoiding it all, but going into it and dealing with it. So little dog we saw earlier today is again a stone picker-upper. That's a classic for lots of gun dog types. And they were saying, well, we can't really sort of get all the stones away. And I said, well, why don't you stand on the stony area? And as though, well, this is normal, but just I expect you not to pick them up. Because I think what they were doing is sort of rushing past the stony area, so the dog didn't have time. But the dogs, they're not silly. The dog will then, as it gets older and wiser, as you rush past the stones, it's going to start grabbing them as you go. So stand, you know, try and think dog and have a look and see, you know, what's worrying your dog and say, get to a situation where you could go, well, actually, this might worry you, but it doesn't worry me, so therefore it's not going to worry you. We're just going to go with it.
I think we have to call a halt to this month's thing, but I think we're going to come back to this subject of what frightens your dog and how best to deal with it, I think, as we go along. But for now, Wendy, say we've taken up more than our allotted time, which is a good thing, I think, really. we'll catch up with you again in a month's time.
Thank you, Tony.